Rebound goes to A-State. Jackson up ahead to Freddie. He'll throw it down with a big right hand.
Robinson swings, hits this one well, deep to left field. This ball is going back, and it is gone.
Cobb will return it from the two. Running left across the 15-20. Cuts back right across the 25-30. Chauncey across the 40. Chauncey Cobb across midfield. 40-30. Cobb takes it 98 yards to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up on this first episode of 2026, lots of basketball talk. The women have moved their streak to 11 wins in a row. They took a couple of games on the road this past week. We'll talk all about that. The football portal has officially opened up. 15-day window and all kinds of crazy stuff already happening with the portal. But we're going to spend most of our time talking men's hoops. After playing 9 of the first 13 on the road, they began a 4-game homestand this past Tuesday night. They blew out Arkansas Tech 107-63. In that one, the Red Wolves forcing 27 turnovers while 6 players scored in double figures. A-State then saw their 3-game win streak come to an end on Saturday, falling to James Madison 78-74, a game that was back and forth, 5 ties, 17 lead changes. Still the men with a lot of good things going. They've won 7 of 9. They sit at 10-5 overall, 2-1 in Sunbelt Conference play. And, you know, one of the best things we saw this past week was the return of Joey Chama. He had missed 11 games due to injury before returning on Tuesday night, and we're pleased to welcome the redshirt sophomore from Los Angeles, California, in studio. Hello, Joey.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, it's great to have you. So we want to hear the whole story. We want to go through your whole journey, but yeah. I want to start with this past week because, look, you got off to a really good start this season. You played well in the first 2 games against Ohio and Stephen F. Austin, but I got to imagine it was really frustrating after 2 games to be injured and have to miss the last 11 games. So how good did it feel to finally be back this past week?
I mean, it's honestly a blessing. What I went through the past, 7-8 weeks has been tough. Just been a roller coaster of emotions. So just getting back on the court was none other but just a feeling of joy. Going out there and doing what I love and just producing was awesome. My freshman year, I got hurt. I broke both my feet. So I know how that injury process goes. And I know the reward that comes with the whole rehab and just that sense of reward of just, working your way back to being healthy and being back on the court. So it was a great feeling.
Broke both your feet?
Yeah.
Is that a separate deal?
It was worse. I broke the left one during practice. Had a procedure, had a screw in there. And then 3 months, it fully healed. Then the right one broke about a week after I got fully cleared. It was tough. So I'm used to this whole rehab process. Thank God it was just a broken bone and nothing else. But yeah, I'm used to this. So I know.
At this point, do you feel practice is dangerous and overrated?
No. I mean, me and Coach talk about all the time. We try to conserve a lot of energy and a lot of force during practice for the game. So, and just taking the rehab, the treatment thing really serious is also a big part of it.
Well, that sounds like a freak injury your freshman year, but This was kind of a freak injury too. What happened when you fractured your fibula?
Yeah, I mean, this one was just more so crazy than anything. We were practicing maybe like 30 minutes left to practice. I go to box out one of the guys, and in the air, there's like a huge collision, and I'm on the ground, and I'm looking up, and I see 7-footer, 6'8 guy, 6'9 guy, all in the air, colliding with each other. Before you know it, they fall on my leg, and I'm just screaming in pain, not knowing what the injury is, just hoping for the best. So, I mean, that's kind of the rundown of how it happened.
Well, you hear broken fibula, and that's the first thing that Coach Pannone had told me before the Missouri State game. He said, Joey's not playing, said broken fibula. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's got to be out for the year. But I guess it was the best possible scenario, right?
Yeah, you hear broken leg, you hear broken fibula, you're like, oh, my goodness, is he ever going to be back and playing again? But luckily, I went to the doctor, and she said, this is like the best, worst thing that could have happened to you. You broke it in such a unique spot where it doesn't require surgery, nor it doesn't require an extended period of time to be out. Like, you come back and play within the next month. And I was just so thankful for that. And it's not one of those injuries where you necessarily lose speed, lose strength. It's like once it's healed, it's like you're ready to go.
All right, enough about the injuries.
Yeah, enough of that.
Tell me about your family.
My family, yeah. So born and raised in Los Angeles. My dad is from Beirut, Lebanon, the Middle East, and my mom is from Mexico. So I kind of have some diversity to me. Stayed in Los Angeles, grew up in Los Angeles. My dad moved from Lebanon since he was 8, and my mom was born here in the States. And just grew up in Los Angeles, and just they stayed there since.
Went to high school in Santa Monica, right?
Correct, yeah. So I went to the same high school Shaq's kids went to. I went to Crossroads, a small little private school in Santa Monica. So I got to experience that. I got coached by, you know, Baron Davis and Austin Crochier.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We played in a tough league. We played against Bronny. So Bronny went there when he was in middle school. And then Shaq's kids, Sharif and Shakir, were there in high school. So spent some time with them there. And then just grew up playing against Bronny and the whole like LA scene in front of LeBron. So some cool experiences doing that.
Give me an example. Tell me a story of playing against Bronny.
Yeah, so we played Bronny at Sierra Canyon. And LeBron was courtside. And not necessarily a great story. We got, you know, blown out by like maybe like 30 or 40. And my teammate got dunked on, posted all over Ball's life. So definitely a story to remember and tell. But, you know, I don't really enjoy sharing it. And then you see LeBron doing all these emotes and the head tap and just jumping. And then that goes even more viral. And then you're just in the background like, damn, my face is all over the internet with millions.
Because in that same, like, he's just, as you said, he's jumping up and down and making racket. And he's just some dude's dad, right?
Yeah. Watching
his kid play ball.
Yeah, yeah. And that was also like one of the first games where it's like there's a lot of people in attendance, and that was also like a unique experience. And it was the first time Bronny was playing my school since he transferred, so it brought even more attention to that whole scene. But I mean, the LA basketball scene is just fun, man. Like, it's fun, famous people at the games and stuff like that, and there's so much media attention, and there's so many good recruits and just great basketball players, where it's just like, it's just such a unique place to play at, and just a bunch of attention, and it's just a great place.
How'd you get into basketball?
My dad was my YMCA coach. I was actually invited to play on a YMCA team. Played my first game. I enjoyed it. And then my dad decided to coach in, you know, one of the YMCA games. And
how old were you?
I'd say I was like maybe 7 years old, 8 years old. It's one of those things where it's like, it's cliche because a lot of people say it, but it's like you fall in love with it once you like touch the ball. But for me, it was like once I made my first basket, it was just like, this is addicting. Like, this is going to be fun, and I want to, you know, go full throttle it and see where it can take me.
So grew up in a town with two NBA teams.
Yeah.
So which one?
You know, I get a lot of hate. I get a lot of slander for this, but I'm a Clippers fan. I'm a Clippers fan, and I'm solely a Clippers fan because of Chris Paul and the whole Lob City thing.
Okay.
The moment I found out Chris Paul was coming to L.A., and I saw the whole Lob City era of Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, it was just so fun to watch and so entertaining. We got season pass tickets, and I'd go to literally every single home game.
It gets overshadowed sometimes because there are two NBA teams. So did you come up with a college basketball team in town you pulled for?
I live 5 minutes from UCLA.
Okay.
So I feel like it would be a little disgraceful if I didn't, if I wasn't rooting for them. I was a UCLA, like a diehard UCLA fan during like the Norman Powell, like Zach LaVine era. So that was even crazier. That was a lot of fun as well.
I'm sure that helped kind of fuel your love for basketball, too, going to Westwood and seeing that.
I was going to two basketball games a day. I literally would go to the UCLA game at noon and then the Clippers game at night.
Wow. Not a bad setup.
It was amazing.
What do your parents do? We didn't ask that.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad owns a Mediterranean, like Lebanese cuisine in Westwood. And then also they just recently opened a wing spot named after me, Joey's Wings.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have a wing spot named after you.
I do, yeah.
And sounds like an NIL deal to me.
It is. It's organic food, no seed oils, try to be as healthy as possible. And he also does real estate development. And then my mom is a chiropractor based in Texas, yeah.
Would that travel well? Can we get Joey's Wings like shipped in for the courtside club one night at a home game or something?
I'm sure we could work something out. It's some good stuff. Some good stuff.
What's your favorite flavor at Joey's Wings?
Honestly, I'm not a very big flavor guy. I go plain extra crispy with mac and cheese and a biscuit. That's the go-to right there. Some ranch, some really good ranch.
Well, I was going to ask you, if you had to choose between Mediterranean or wings, what would it be?
I'd say Mediterranean. There's more of a bigger menu to choose from. You could get steak, chicken, lamb, and then obviously everything else like the rice, the pita bread, the hummus, all that stuff. Something you don't really get out here. But when I go back home, I literally eat that every single day.
Now, did you ask for the naming rights on the wing thing, or did they just spring that on you?
For a wing spot, like, you could really go with any name. We all thought, like, Joey's Wings just flows really well. And there's
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I did. I did. And there's just a very cool, like, story behind it, you know? I asked for wings one day, and one of the chefs in the kitchen at my dad's restaurant, they made it, and it was really good. And I was like, let's do something with this. And we did. And we're here now, Joey's Wings.
Man, good stuff.
Yeah.
When did you realize that college basketball might be a possibility?
This is funny because I was always, like, such a believer in myself. You know, I don't pass the eye test whatsoever. You look at me on the street, this kid does not look like a basketball player. Pinone always says, I belong on Venice Beach skating on my way down the beach. And there's really nothing I can say about it. I agree with him. But definitely towards my junior year is when I really sprouted. I became one of the leading scorers in California and then carried that on through my senior year. I was always getting looks, but no one really pulled the trigger. Decided to do a postgraduate year. Decided that was, you know, my best benefit. It worked out for me. Went to San Diego and I really enjoyed my time there. Life was great there. San Diego, beautiful, pretty place.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got here my freshman year, and then I got the opportunity my sophomore year to go and showcase what I've been working on for my whole life, and I excelled. I did what I was supposed to do, and now we're here. But I'd really say it was my junior year. I'm not the tallest right now, but I did grow. Sounds crazy. I did grow a little bit. I did put on some weight. And I was always a really, really good shooter. And it was just like, I was savvy. I had a high IQ. So the people around me was like, this ball can take you far. So, and that's what I did. I just worked endlessly.
All we've talked about from a fandom standpoint playing is basketball. Is that all there ever was?
As far as any other hobbies,
What, did you play anything else coming up?
Played soccer maybe for like a month. I was like, this is a no-go. This is not for me. I'm good at pulling a ball in a hoop and scoring. And that's how I ended up playing basketball. That's really all I ever did.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Joey Chama here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. So you mentioned the 2 years you spent at San Diego. You were able to get a red shirt for that first year. So you went into the portal with 3 years of eligibility remaining. When was the first time you heard about Arkansas State, and when did you hear from Ryan Pinone?
So this is actually a crazy story. I heard from them late. First of all, when I entered the portal, I heard of Arkansas State because my freshman year at San Diego, we played Arkansas State. And yeah, we played them.
That was in Palm Springs.
I called that game.
Correct, yeah. We were in Palm Springs. So I always remember the name. I always knew it was a good program because San Diego speaks very highly of them on the scout in the pregame. And I hit the portal. I was getting all these West Coast schools, Oregon State, you know, CSUN. Took some visits to Utah Tech. And I was more so like leaning on Oregon State. I went back home and I was like, you know, this is something I have to sleep about. And then all of a sudden I get a follow from Jordan on Twitter, gets my number. We start talking.
Jordan Fair.
Jordan Fair. Did not think twice about it. I was like, yeah, no way. I was like, this is not what I want to do. Didn't know who Coach Pinone was. Got on a Zoom with him, which lasted like 2 hours, and it was straight analytics. And I was like, what am I looking at right now? It seemed like I was in a math class trying to solve equations. And he seemed like this freakish, like, savant that just knows so much about hoops. And I was like, why am I not, like, thinking about this? Like, I think I should be thinking about this more. And I ended up taking a visit. Didn't even want to take the visit. Was procrastinating the visit. I came on a visit. And I'm like, why am I not coming here? Like, what is it, the location? Like, what is it? Because the basketball seems phenomenal. It seems like I'm going to get better. And it seems like a very genuine guy, you know. And with this whole college recruiting process, it's hard to come off as a coach to be a genuine, like, just normal human being. And we developed a really good relationship, not just him, with the whole staff. And they basically put me in a position to not say, like, no. Like, it was like, yes. And at first glance, I was like, this is not, like, I don't know. Like, I want to be close to home, you know, I like the weather, blah, blah, blah. And then I was just like, this is a basketball decision. This is not, you know, my whole life. And like I said, he put me in a position where it was like, if I say no, I'm going to regret this for my whole college career. And glad I made the decision. And it's great here. You know, I've been enjoying it a lot. The hospitality, definitely not as bad as what people make it seem, especially on the West Coast. You think Arkansas State, and a lot of people are like, oh, they turn their heads. It's not like that. There's some great people here, and it's a great city.
I want to know, what do you say to people? And listen, I'm one of them. I'm guilty of it. But what do you want to say to anyone who comes to you and complains about the traffic on Red Wolf Boulevard?
I laugh at them. First of all, I don't say anything. I laugh at them. And I said, that should be the least of your worries, because if that was back home, it would probably take you an hour to literally just get on the freeway.
Yeah.
And from the arena to the freeway, an hour during 5 o'clock traffic.
I'm sure that's one of the big perks of living here. You don't have to worry about traffic.
That's just some of the few, honestly. You come across some really genuine people here that back home, you just don't.
So. You don't know who you're meeting sometimes.
Yeah, you don't. So
I'll tell you this, and this is no offense and no knock on the fine folks at Whataburger, because there's one coming to town. But I want you to know, in my house, all the people in my house are way more excited that Memphis is getting an In-N-Out.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the word. And that's big news. Everybody's excited. I mean, they're fired up to go get some In-N-Out, because they had it. We've gone out west or been in Vegas or whatever, yeah. And everybody loved them some In-N-Out.
In-N-Out is my favorite restaurant, besides Joe's Wings.
That's right.
It's very good.
It's expanding now. I mean,
yep.
California, Texas, it's all over.
You know, I had it when we were in San Marcos playing Texas State. There was an In-N-Out right by the arena, and I had it, and it just wasn't the same as back home.
Really?
Now, I feel like it's just a California staple. So I feel like the people who have it, maybe in the South, are not experiencing.
They're getting the full go?
No, they're not. They're not getting the full go. The full go is you have to eat the burger on the beach with the breeze hitting you. That's the full go.
All right. So I think the first thing I heard about when it came to you and practice during the off season was you had taken 200 threes one day. You hit some crazy number. Was it like 187?
Yeah, like 188.
I mean, to short you there.
No. I still get mad at the manager to this day for not keeping the correct count. We talk about all the time. He's one of my best friends now. I'm like, I don't remember the day. He was trying to give me 5 short, and we went back, watched the film and stuff like that. So we go at it all the time. But it was definitely like 188, 187. And it was one of the first days, earlier days in practice. And, you know, I just caught fire and really just did not miss. It's one of those things where it's like every time the ball left your hand, it was like, there's no way I'm missing this. And
were they from the same spot, or were you going all the way?
Oh, no, I was moving. I was feeling myself. I was moving, you know, shooting back, coming close. It was some Steph Curry type of shooting, but I take that with me to the grave. Like, I'm going to tell everyone that.
187. I mean, I think most players would be doing good if they can hit 187 out of 200 layups.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, or free throws. Yeah, we did that from three. And no, that was definitely great and something I flex on everybody.
Gosh, I don't blame you. Do you have a favorite spot?
Do I
shoot from?
You know, when I was young, I did. But, I mean, I've shot so many threes that every spot just honestly just feels the same at this point. It's just straight rhythm and how the ball comes off my hands and just technique and form and the amount of leg drive I use. So
they left you open on the left wing the other day against James Madison. I'm like, why am I even watching this?
Yeah,
he's going to hit it.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many reps where it's like a three-pointer literally feels like a free throw.
You know, we go back to the injury, but really the time you missed. And I'm sure you're concerned about messing with rhythm and stuff. But kind of what were your concerns, maybe even different than most, when like you only get to play twice and you got to sit for 11 games while this entirely new team, 100% new roster, goes out there and tries to figure it out? Kind of what were your concerns about missing those games in that situation when everybody's trying to get their foot in with this new bunch?
First of all, I was just so blessed that I was able to continue the season. That was already a sigh of relief. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it wasn't concerning. And they had something so special going on when I was out. You know, we were winning ball games, and that's what we literally work out and train every single day to do, multiple hours throughout the day. It was concerning at points, but, you know, I just developed such a great relationship with them that there was really no sense of hatred or anything like that. It was more so, and coach, we talked almost every day on how I was just going to come back in and just, you know, glide right back in like I never left, and which I think I've done a pretty good job of that. Obviously, I've only played three or four games with guys who played, you know, close to whatever, 15 games. So it is going to take some time, but, you know, better sooner than later. What we're working for right now is what we're going to be doing in March, not early January, though these games are important. And we want to be at our full strength and be at our best when those days come in March. So it just, everything's perspective, and that's how we try to look at it.
One thing that's really impressive to me is just how well this team seems to get along. It's quite the experiment when you bring a whole new roster, 100% new roster, a 100% new coaching staff. The feeling out process, I guess everybody's kind of going through the same thing.
Yeah. Here they set standards. They set, they hold accountability, and we set a culture. And throughout all my years of playing college basketball, and even before that, I've never been in a program that sets such a high culture and such a high standard as we do. And coach says it's the players that set the culture, but it really comes from within up, which is, you know, coach and how he treats everyone and even the players. And everyone knows what it's going to take to be successful here and go far. And everyone has, you know, a sense of reality of that. And we know what it's going to take to win. We know where the ball should be at what times and the plays we should run for who's on the court. And everyone kind of lets ego aside and plays the role that they're supposed to play. And I think that's gone as far because, you know, we have guys from SEC, ACC, you know, guys who've averaged double digits. So you think of something like that and you think about, oh, God, this could be, you know, a problem. This can be a headache. But, no, we're making it work and our best days are just ahead.
Another thing for me that's impressive, and I know that there's been different stories we've told about this along the way, but I'll go back to Saturday in the James Madison game for an example. You lose a tough ball game, and every guy's taking that loss hard and with good reason. Yet, the other thing this team had was, you know, a group of 50, 60, 70 kids from Truman who'd come to see the game, and when that James Madison game ended, all those kids came out on the floor with their schedule poster, and here's all these guys standing out there on the floor with these kids taking pictures and signing their schedule poster, and they still did the lap around the court thanking the fans, and all that stuff's great and fun and easy to do with a win. But here was a tough loss. It was going to have some sting to it, and you guys did it just the same. That's pretty cool.
Like I said, the culture here is to just be a great person, as coach always says. And when you lose such a hard game, let's be real, that's not what you want to do. But there's people here supporting you, and everyone here realizes that. The support is contagious, and, I mean, the least we could do is go back and put a smile on kids' faces because, you know, out here, A-State basketball, I mean, kids look up to you, the fans look up to you and stuff like that. And, yeah, and it's always, you know, it's something you should never take for granted, and we all realize that as players. And we realize that people are coming here to support us, and we should go put a smile back on their face, and which we did, and we enjoy every single time.
To that end, don't want the moment to be too serious. Mm. You guys did do that with that group. But I will give a shout-out to my classmate. This is both Arkansas State and a high school classmate. Chris Bolden, who I didn't realize, you know, he texts me a lot during Arkansas State games. He lives out of state, so he's watching them almost all the time. So he had sent me a text or two during the game, and it didn't dawn on me that he was at the game until it was over. And he sends me this picture of his beautiful 12-year-old daughter, Brielle, and who did she make sure she wanted to get a photo with? There's old
That's awesome.
Joey Chama. And so I texted him, well, I didn't realize you're in the building. And his text back was, yes, obsessing about Joey. So there you go. Add,
that's
add
awesome.
Preteen heartthrob to the list of hats you have to wear around here.
No, that's awesome. I mean, like, coming from a program that averaged, like, 300 fans. It's special to play in front of, you know, such a group of people that support you and want nothing but the best for you. And just people who look up to you. Like I said, like playing in front of 200 people and mostly just family wasn't really fun, but out here it's something special and it's something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, especially after all the road games to begin the season, to finally be home and a chance to be a part of a really, really good home environment now. And I know you've got to be excited about two more home games this week. Wednesday, got Troy coming in at 7 o'clock, and then 2 o'clock against Texas State Saturday. And chance to play in front of the home fans. You're excited about that, but also a chance this week to get back on track.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the main focus here is to end this week off strong and start next week with a fresh new mind, a fresh new slate, and just go out there and do what we do, execute the game plan, and just really focus in and hone in on the scout. I'm not worried, and you know we're not worried as a group, and we handle adversity well. We're a resilient group, and it should be a fun week of basketball and something to look forward to. There's no doubt in my mind that you know we're going to end this week 2-0.
Going back one more time to the James Madison game, credit to them. They played well, but at the same time, it just seemed like there were a lot of open shots in that game that you guys just aren't going to miss very often.
Yeah, I mean, we preach shoot with confidence, keep shooting, but very analytical, and we know the percentages and the law of averages, and we know what's going to weigh in on our side, and nothing is going to change. We are going to get in the gym. We are going to get extra reps, in which we always do. And games like that happen. It felt like nothing, literally nothing was going our way that game. But it happens, you know. It's basketball at the end of the day, and if we play them again, it's going to be much different, and we all know that.
Joey, this has been fun, man.
Yeah, this has been great. Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Enjoy you coming in. And
thank you.
You got your friend Nathan. He came in from California.
California, Los Angeles, is out here living with me.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. You got that nickname, too. SoCal Joey,
SoCal Joe is what I've heard.
You like that?
Yeah, I don't mind it. It has some nice ring to it. Could flow a little smoother, but we'll think of something.
Did you ever
else.
Have another one along the way?
So I've heard some names in the crowd. I've heard Chominator before.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like that one.
Well, I keep waiting for you to throw an alley-oop or something to Chudy. I mean, I want to say Chama to Diorama.
Oh, yeah.
Just one time.
I like that. Yeah. I don't know if it's Chewy can necessarily get up there like that. Maybe come up with one like for Ollie or something. But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me and stuff. Yeah, this has been great.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always.
Hey, before we, I know we're going to talk, and I can't wait to talk about this women's basketball team, but I do want to say, and we touched on it with Joey, the crowds last week were great, and that crowd Saturday was so fun. Obviously, I'm real plugged into what the crowd's like and what they're doing. And when it's the ones like Saturday, that crowd never had to be asked to get into it. You know, or you didn't ever feel like you were kind of having to drag them or prod them along. They were in the right frame of mind for a big conference game. Turned out in good numbers. It was a fun week from that standpoint. So hopefully didn't knock the starch out of anybody. It shouldn't have. We got two more big ones at home this week.
Yeah, rematch of the Sunbelt Championship game Wednesday at 7, although most of the characters from last year are
same jerseys. But
Wednesday at 7 against Troy, and then going for the season sweep of Texas State.
We're in black Wednesday night.
2. We blacking it out?
Yep.
All right, let's do talk about the women, because that streaks at 11 in a row for Coach Dez's team. They're now 13-3 overall, 4-0 in conference play. They defeated Southern Miss on New Year's Day, 91-83. They were down double digits in the first half of that game, but they started the second half on an 8-0 run and really never looked back after that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. When you win and you can look back in hindsight, like, I'm glad this team got behind. Because then, in over the course of that win streak, they hadn't been behind a whole lot. And so I was glad to see them do that. It was a 7-point game at the break and had the lead about 45 seconds into the third quarter after being down 7 at halftime.
It was a quick run.
And then it was.
Yeah, I was listening when that was happening.
And then it was back and forth, you know. But it's the same old thing. It's like, even if it's close for a half, okay, you know, 3 quarters, all right. And it's not that the other team doesn't realize it, because I promise you the other coaching staff realizes it. But even if it's close for 3 quarters, what they're doing in the process of that 3 quarters is they're just dragging you out to the deep end to see how long you can swim.
That's a good analogy, because that is what they're doing.
And they just think, and with good reason, they believe that if that's a close game in the fourth quarter, they're just going to have more left in the tank than you do.
Big performance from Kristlyn Rose. She finished with 23 points, was a perfect 11 of 11 from the foul line. Red Wolves then won again on Saturday against a ULM team that had been playing some good ball. They were undefeated at home going into Saturday. But the Red Wolves, after leading by two at the intermission, outscored the Warhawks in the third quarter 26-12, went on to win it by 18, 89-71.
Back in the day, in the olden days, before quarters, and it's probably the same for the men now, they would always talk about the last four, first four. You know, last 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 minutes of the second half. With the women's game now, a lot of times you talk about last five, first five. That's been a key stretch for this team. So I really think that first five, for sure. I'd be interested in seeing kind of what they've been like in the first 5 minutes of third quarters. They've come out of the locker room well at halftime a lot. This was another one of those cases where they took a game that was close, I think a two-point game at halftime, and you know they had it by double figures by the end of the third quarter.
Chrislyn Rose with another good performance in that one, 16 points, 6 assists. Bella Weary, 15 and 6 in that game. And Zion Shannon able to reach the 1,000-point mark for her career. The women with a couple of more road games this week at South Alabama, Thursday at 7. They'll be at Troy Saturday at 3:30.
That is a big one.
That's always a big one when you take on Troy. A chance to get that one on the road, and man, that would be a statement if they can do that.
And not and don't look past this the South Alabama one.
They're better.
They are better, and you got to go to their place. You're kind of like the same thing with Monroe. You know, they've been playing well at home, and Monroe's a team that's already come up here, so it's interesting. You know, we're recording this on January 4th, and they've already got their two games with Monroe in, which is, I mean, weird, and to me, avoidable. I'm not sure why it gets done that way.
Well, we're about to complete our series with Texas State on the men's side this Saturday.
That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But anyway, they didn't ask. So, yeah, you got to be on your P's and Q's, and Mobile's can't be worried about what will be a game that everybody in the league is probably looking at. And, you know, they've done a great job of that. I mean, obviously, if you rattle off an 11-game win streak, you're not looking ahead of many people. They started an 11-game win streak January 2nd, 2025, and picked up win number 11 in a different one on January 3rd, 2026. A year and a day later, they're on their second 11-game win streak.
That's amazing. Consecutive seasons with 11-game win streaks. Just tells you how well this women's team is playing, the kind of shape the program's in right now. And it was really cool to say, after the men defeated Arkansas Tech last Tuesday, that the men's and women's programs were sitting at double-digit wins before January 1st. First time ever that that's happened.
Yeah, there was a few of those sorts of things, but that was a really cool one to see the teams, you know, put that out and kind of put that out together, each bragging on one another. I was trying to see, I'll give Mark Taylor credit for this one, because you could see some version of this coming up again later, but out of programs to win a bowl game for a fall season in football, go to the NCAA tournament in volleyball, and have both men's and women's basketball programs have 10 wins before the calendar year ended. Only one non-power school in the country that did that.
Wow. A lot of good things happening right now, just across the board. Football is busy with portal season. It officially opened this past Friday. It's open through the 16th, and who knows what's going to happen between now and then. And, of course, we'll have Coach Jones on at some point to talk all about it.
Do you keep a lot of watch on this?
Not really.
You know, I don't either. There's just so much coming and going, and I'm just like, let me know like when the dust settles here, and let's look things over.
You know, I think there's just so much to pay attention to anymore with things that are happening on the field, on the court. I'm going to know all these people, know all about them by the time they take the field in September, but it's still in motion right now, so there's still so much to figure out before then.
Yeah, it's almost too much to try to keep up with. And our staff's doing it, and staffs all across the country are trying to keep up with that, like you said, in a 15-day window.
What a conversation with Joey Chama. And I'll tell our audience what I told you kind of in between segments. If we weren't doing this podcast, we wouldn't have the platform to sit down and have a long interview like that and get to know some of the stuff that Joey told us. And we enjoy doing this every week. We enjoy getting to know in depth our student athletes and our coaches, everybody that comes on here. Those are the kind of stories we love. I mean, it's really neat to hear about Joey's story. It's fascinating, but there's so many out there, and just a great way to to know more about this team that we're still learning about. And look, I mean, we're halfway through this thing. They're getting better all the time, and I think we're in for a really fun season the rest of the way.
Yeah, I do too. I'm anxious to get fans back in there Wednesday and Saturday. By the way, that's still the final two games with the holiday deal still in place, so you can still get the $15 lower-level seats. You can still get the $2 kid tickets. Both those games are still going to have the Hijinks Kid Zone, which people are going nuts about, with the free hot chocolate, the free candy, the inflatables, the face painting, and the balloon artist, and the whole bit. Both games this week. Going to see the premiere, of the High Troll Pack Madness, where High Troll is going to see a race. And you saw a little sample of one Saturday.
Yeah.
Where student organizations are going to go through a bracket. They're going to have a race at every game, where High Troll is going to end up giving money to both the winner, the individual that wins the bracket, and the organization they're representing.
Okay.
Then all the races are going to take place in those inflatable animal costumes, where you have to manage to have that thing on and keep it on while you go down and grab a basketball and hit a shot.
I don't
bracket
know how
style.
You can do that, but it sure is fun to watch.
Yeah. Julia McKee knocked off Brody Bobo in the sample run Saturday.
That's about the time somebody knocked off Brody Bobo.
He didn't even get a shot off. He was whitewalled, I mean.
I'm sure he's heard a lot about that since then. Hey, thanks to Joey Chama for coming in. Appreciate Davey Stinchcomb for setting that up for us. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and the Cavanaugh Auto Group.